I am Grandpa, and I love you.
I'm Grandma, and I love you too.
Welcome to our podcast, Grandpa and Grandma Bedtime Stories.
We share some stories that will make you laugh.
We share stories that might make you cry.
And we share stories that will give you courage to choose the right.
And these bedtime stories will help you to dream sweet dreams.
So get on your pajamas and say your prayers.
Turn out the light and hear our story tonight. Good evening. This is Grandpa Edward Jeffrey Hill, and tonight's bedtime story is about a very special Valentine's Day that changed my life forever. Wow. This was an immensely spectacular Valentine's Day. Tonight's story will focus on events that really did happen on Valentine's Day in 1976, almost 50 years ago. I remember the events of that day as if they happened yesterday. Actually, as my short-term memory has decreased a little bit with age, I may be able to remember the events of February 14th, 1976, even better than I can remember what happened yesterday. To understand this story, I need to share with you a little background information. I met Grandma Juanita Ray Hill on Sunday, August 3rd, 1975. She was 17 years old and attending Brigham Young University. Juanita lived at 625 University Avenue, Provo, Utah, where she lived there in a rental house with her sister, Marlene Ray Hinton, and four other roommates: Helen Reber, Jerry Singleton, Connie Johnson, and Pat somebody or other. No one seems to remember Pat's last name, so I will call her Pat somebody or other, though that really wasn't her last name. Juanita's house was directly across University Avenue from the house where I had lived with 11 housemates during winter semester 1975. During summer 1975, I lived with my parents in Tacoma, Washington, and worked as a secretary at IBM to earn money for the next year's school expenses. On August 3, 1975, I was in Provo to interview for a job at the Language Training Mission for fall 1975. Marlene had recently got engaged to my housemate, Gary Hinton, and on that fateful day had invited me to dinner. After dinner, Juanita assaulted me with a squirt gun while I was sleeping peacefully on the floor while listening to an ensign talk. This assault jolted me awake, and as a result, I chased Juanita, and we had a playful interaction. I stole her gun and got her soaking wet as well. I have told that bedtime story already in much greater detail. It is in Season 1, Episode 20, and is the most listened to of all of my podcasts. You might want to listen to it again. In this next part of the story, I will summarize very briefly what happened with Juanita and me between Sunday, August 3rd, 1975, and Thursday, January 8th, 1976. I will give more detail to this time period in a future bedtime story. Be sure to remind me to record that story. During the first part of fall semester 1975, Juanita and I both went to BYU. Aunt Marlene and the girls across University Avenue often invited my housemates and me for dinner and treats, and so I saw Juanita frequently. At this time, I was dating other girls, trying to find the perfect wife. But then Juanita invited me to play racquetball, and we started doing fun things together. We had a blast and became best friends. I did not consider these to be dating activities, because Juanita had just barely turned 18 on August 9, 1975, and I thought she was far too young and far too immature for me to have a romantic relationship with her. I did feel comfortable around Juanita. I wasn't nervous at all. Juanita and I would play racquetball, go for walks, go shopping, go hiking, and lots of other things. Then on the weekends, I would go out with wife prospects and feel very nervous. I liked Juanita, but she was most definitely in the friend zone. At the end of September, Juanita's sister, Marlene Ray, married Gary Hinton and became Marlene Ray Hinton. They were married in the Mesa, Arizona temple. Concurrently, and most surprisingly, Juanita decided to drop out of BYU and return home to her family in Mesa in conjunction with the wedding. I thought that was a pretty dumb thing to do for a smart girl like Juanita. When I talked with her about it, Juanita told me the only reason she was at BYU was to live with her sister Marlene. And now that Marlene was getting married, she couldn't live with her anymore. Again, I thought, that was a pretty dumb reason for leaving a fantastic university education at BYU. As a friend, I tried to talk her out of it. We had several long, long talks. It seemed like I was getting through to her, but in the end, I did not succeed, and she packed up all of her stuff to move back to Arizona. Then something happened that was quite amazing. Gary Hinton said they needed to drive two cars down to the wedding in Arizona. He asked me if I would be his best man and if I would drive one of the cars with Juanita and all her stuff. That way, he could drive with his sweetheart Marlene and they wouldn't have to be apart all that way. I agreed, and to make a very long story short, Juanita and I drove alone for 12 hours from Provo, Utah to Mesa, Arizona. This was before the freeway was completed, so it took longer in those days than it does now. Even though it took 12 hours, we never stopped talking, and we had a great time. It didn't matter that she didn't see the value of a university education. What mattered is that she was a wonderful person with whom I felt totally, totally comfortable. Before I left to return to Provo, I told Juanita that I loved her. She was very surprised and, frankly, didn't know what to think. Then I drove Gary's car back to Provo with his sister, Charlene Hinton, and all of Gary and Marlene's wedding presents. Juanita and I had a long-distance relationship through the rest of fall semester. I wrote her every single day, and she wrote me, maybe a couple times a week. We never ever talked on the phone because that was way too expensive. After a time, our letters started to get flirty, even from her, and then even a little romantic. Surprisingly, and I was very happy about this, she decided to return to BYU for winter semester 1976 and ask if we could try out being boyfriend and girlfriend. Wow, that was great. When she returned to BYU, I was so excited to hold her hand and talk for hours with her every day. I loved every second of it. However, after a week, I could tell Juanita wasn't as happy as I was. She told me that she didn't like how things were as boyfriend and girlfriend. She told me things were going way too fast for her. She said she really liked it when we were just friends. And could we be just friends now instead of boyfriend and girlfriend? When she told me that, I chose to feel, well, pretty sad. But I wanted to respect her, and so I said, sure, let's just be friends. The next week, I didn't see Juanita at all. I wanted to give her space from me, and also it seemed to me too hard to be just a friend with her. About a week after we broke up, I randomly saw Juanita in front of the Richards building at BYU. That's where we played racquetball. I could tell she was so happy to see me. She literally ran up to me and gave me a big hug and said, Jeff, where have you been? I told her, well, you said you wanted to be friends and not boyfriend-girlfriend. She replied, that's right. I want to be friends. Would you like to go play racquetball? And so we played racquetball and started being best friends again. We had no romance, but still a lot of fun. And still, I couldn't get into dating anybody else. I really liked Juanita. However, by the first week of February, I thought that any romantic relationship with Juanita was just not going to happen. I enjoyed being friends, but it was very hard for me to not want to be more than friends. I was sad about that. I thought Juanita was a fantastic person, but the story I told myself was that romance was just not going to happen. I needed to get over it. But I decided I would do one more grand romantic gesture, but I would not expect anything in return. What was I going to do? I would make her a Valentine. Not just any Valentine, but a Valentine for the ages, an epic Valentine. A Valentine with a capital V. In this way, I could say goodbye to our romance and perhaps change my heart to just being good friends. For the next 10 days, I worked hours and hours on making the most creative Valentine possible. I have to tell you, I'm not very artistic, you know that. And so it took a lot of work. I got lots of multicolored construction paper. I learned to cut out hearts of different colors and sizes. And I even cut out with yellow paper several suns and with green paper several mountains. I cut out lots of letters and pictures from magazines. I decided to make a 12-page romantic Valentine. I first glued on the hearts and the suns and the mountains. Then I glued on pictures from magazines that would form a story. Then I glued on the letters to tell the story in words. Of course, the story I told was how wonderful Juanita was and how much I loved her, both as a friend and as a boyfriend. When I was done, I had a gorgeous, spectacular 12-page friendly and romantic Valentine that I thought was pretty impressive, if I do say so myself. Of course, oftentimes I think things are impressive, if I do say so myself, and not everyone agrees with me. That's a consequence I have of being a little too prideful and having a little too much self-confidence. I wondered how I could give this amazing Valentine to Juanita on Valentine's Day. I thought I might ask her to play racquetball on Valentine's Day afternoon. Then I would play really hard, but make sure I missed just enough shots that she would win. She usually won about 75% of the time anyway, so it wouldn't be too difficult to make sure she won. She was always very, very happy after she beat me in a hard-fought game of racquetball. After we were finished playing, and when we were all sweaty, I would give her the Valentine on the grass outside of the Richards Building. I recognize that that plan might seem a little weird. I prefer to think that it was a unique idea or eclectic idea rather than a weird idea. But then something happened on the morning of Friday the 13th of February 1976 that at first caused me great disappointment, but ended up being very lucky on that unlucky day. That morning, Juanita and I went for a walk, and I was a little nervous to ask her to play racquetball on Saturday. Before I could ask her, she talked about how excited she was to leave that evening with Gary and Marlene to visit her sister Cynthia and Cynthia's husband Dale Flake in Farron, Utah. My heart sank. She would be gone all Valentine's weekend. Oh no! What could I do? How could I give her my epic Valentine? But then something super surprising to me happened. Instead of looking at me, she looked down at the ground and asked me a question. She asked if I wanted to go with them on their trip. What? We were just friends, and she wanted me to go away with her for the weekend? Wow, I wonder if I had heard her right. I paused for a minute. She looked up at me, a little concerned. And then I looked at her and tried not to sound too excited and just said, I'd love to go with you. I'll have to get someone to cover my classes at the language training mission, but that shouldn't be a problem. When do we leave? When Juanita and I got in the car and started driving south with Gary and Marlene, it was about dusk. Do you know what dusk is? Dusk is the time between sunset and nightfall, when the sun has gone down, but it isn't dark yet. Gary and Marlene were in the front seat. Marlene sat right next to Gary and would play with his hair. They were still newlyweds, and you could tell they were in love. Juanita and I sat in the back seat. She did not sit close to me, and I was a little disappointed about that. But then on the other hand, she didn't sit all that far away. There were probably only about 6 inches between us. As we drove past Springville on the newly completed I-15, I contemplated about when to give Juanita my spectacular Valentine. There was still enough light to see, but it was getting dark fast. I girded up my loins and fresh courage took and determined to try my luck with Juanita on Friday the 13th and give her the epic Valentine. I turned toward her, caught her eye, and in a friendly voice said, "I have something for you." She kind of smiled and responded, "What is it?" Now I smiled broadly and said, "You'll have to see for yourself." Oh dear, that's all the time we have for our bedtime story tonight. I hope that you will listen next week to hear what happened when I gave Juanita Ray an epic Valentine for the ages on Friday the 13th, 1976. Oh dear, that's all the time we have for our bedtime story tonight. I hope you will listen next week to hear what happened when I gave Juanita Ray an epic Valentine for the ages on Friday the 13th, 1976. Sweet dreams. I love you. We hope you enjoyed tonight's bedtime story.
We hope you felt our love for you.
And we hope you will have sweet dreams tonight. We love you so much.